So
okay.
Let's begin. Please stop talking about Rick Gamble.
Yeah, seriously. Good morning. Let's begin. So we left off. Today's daf is Ayin Hey. We're going to pick up last three lines of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Amar Reish Lakish. Tov Mare Einayim Beisha Yosir Migufo Shamaisa. So Reish Lakish posits that looking at the act of looking at a woman, desiring her, could sometimes be more enjoyable than the actual act of physical intimacy. Shene Amar. Tov mara einayim mehalach nefesh. He calls the pasuk because better is the seeing of the eyes than the experience of the body. Ki yitein bekos eino yishalich b'meisharim. I see the Gemara says over here, quoting the pasuk from Mishlei, because he who puts his eyes in his cup will go ahead. Yishalich b'meisharim literally means will walk in upright paths. So what does that mean? Rabbi Amir Rabbi Asi Chadamar Kolanosin Eino Bekos. So top of Ayin Hey Mudaf Mosay. Anybody who puts his eyes in his cup. Now, what does it mean to place your eyes in your cup? Rashi says Ohev Shichos. He loves to drink. Oh, thank you. Today's daf is sponsored by the Schoenfelds for the Aliyah of the Neshama Baruch Yosef Meir HaKohen. We hope that in merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah. Thank you, Baruch Hashem. So we'll say. So what does it mean? Anyone who puts his eyes in his cup. It means anyone who loves to drink. Anyone who loves to be inebriated. So again, he's not just on stop drinking, he says shichrus over here. So what happens to such a person? Arayos kulan domos lo alav kamishor. Immorality becomes to him like an open plain. Now, what does that mean? That it becomes permissible to him. Ultimately, what the Gemara is saying over here is that someone who drinks too much will break down certain barriers of inhibitions and can ultimately get into big trouble. The Chadamar and others say, whoever puts his eyes in his cup, which again I will say is a euphemism for drunkenness, the entire world looks like his plane. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says, that he thinks that he has permissibility to take whatever he wants. So now the Gemara quotes the pasuk over here from Mishlei. Da'aga b'lev ish yashchena. But also what this literally means is, well, we'll see what literally means, that when man has worry in his heart, yashchena means he should squash it. He should get rid of it. Meaning, don't walk around life with too much worry in your heart. Better to get rid of it. But what does this mean? How does the Gemara dashen it? Rabbi Amir Rabbi Asi, chad amar yashchena midato. One says yashchena midato. You should literally remove it from your mind. The chad amar yasichena lachirim. And others say you should communicate it to others. They'll say such a fascinating yisod that if a person has worry in his heart, so what should you do with that worry? So one opinion says you should just try to get rid of it. Try to get it out of your mind because to carry it around is not going to help you. The other opinion says speak about it. Talk about it to others. It may help. V'nachash afar lachmo. And the pasuk says, again, I will say, again, from Yeshayahu, that for the nachash, for the snake, dirt is its bread, is its food. Rabbi Amar Rabbi Asi. Chad amar afilu ochal kol ma'adane olam toim abahem ta'am afar. So one opinion says that the punishment of the nachash was that no matter what it eats in this world, no matter what it eats, it will only taste dirt. The chad amar on the other says afilu ochal kol ma'adane olam, even if it eats all of the enjoyment, all the pleasures of this world, in da'atom yushavetz ad sheyochal afar, it does not feel sated until it eats dirt. Tanya amar Rabbi Yossi. Obviously, this is a reference over here to the idea of the punishment of the nachash. After the sin of Adam and Chava, and the idea that it's always going to go ahead and eat from the dirt. So the shaila is, again, what exactly is the ramification of that particular curse? So the Gemara goes right. Rabbi Yossi, bo urei shelo k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. Rabbi Yossi says, see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than man. Midas basar v'dam. Magnet es chavero, yored imo lechayre. We'll say the way it works with people is that if two people have a falling out and they get very angry at each other, and one really wants to punish the other, so one will try to take away from the parnasa of the other. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino king, but God is not like that. Kila les hanachash, God cursed the snake. Ole legag, the snake goes up to the roof. Mizonos of Imo. It's Mizonos, it's livelihood, it's sustenance is with it. Yori Lamato, if it goes down from the roof, Mizonos of Imo, it's Mizonos is with it. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed the Nachash, the idea is that even within the curses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ours is incredible Rachmanus. So he curses the Nachash, yet again, the Nachash is sustained wherever it goes. Kila les Kinan, he cursed Kinan. Ocha Masher Rabba Ochel, Shose Masher Rabba Shose. So what happens? He cursed Kinan of us. And what was the curse of Kinan? The curse of Kinan was that, is that he'll be an Eved, is that he's going to be a servant. But yet, amazingly enough, what happens when you have a servant? Whatever you eat, your servant has to eat also. Whatever you sleep on, your servant has to sleep on also. So even though Kinan is cursed, Kinan is sustained through his very curse. Ikila Esaisha is a very profound Gemara. He cursed woman, right? Again, this was a result of the sin of Chava, and yet what? Hakol Ratzin Achareha. Yet everyone runs after her, right? So again, she's been cursed, and yet what? And yet ultimately, she's still the object of man's desire. Kila as ha'adama, he cursed the earth. Hakol nizonin heimena, everyone is still sustained from the earth. Zacharnu as hadaga asher nocha b'mitzrayim chinam. So we'll say now again, this is very Inyanei Yomah. This Torah is teaching us over here that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were in the desert. One of the episodes, actually in the Midbar, when they are complaining, so they say, "We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt, chinam for free." Rav Shmuel have machlokes. Chad Amar Dagim, v'Chad Amar Arayos. One says that this is a reference to fish, mamish fish is fish, and others say no, it's actually a euphemism for immorality. So according to one opinion, they're lamenting the lack of free fish. And according to the other opinion, they're lamenting the lack of the ability to engage in immorality. So the Gemara says, Man da'amar dogim. Man da'amar dogim. So we'll say, first wide line. I'm actively restraining the desire to yell out Shalom Aleichem. But all right. So man da'amar dogim. So the one who says that it was fish, we'll say, first wide line, ayin hey amud aleph. So the one who says that it was fish, dechsiv nochal, because the pasuk says we're eating. So the pasuk is talking about consumption. Uman damar arayus. The one who says it's referring to morality, dechsiv chinam, because the pasuk said the word chinam seems to indicate a life without boundaries, a life without restrictions, which would seem to indicate that they were lamenting the new moral code that was imposed upon them. Uleman da'amar arayis, but according to the one who says that they're lamenting, the arayis haksiv nochal, it says eating, lishna ma'al yunokit. So we'll say eating is often a euphemism, thank you, a euphemism for cohabitation. So the Gemara says, dichsiv, Achla umachsa piha va'amra lo pa'alti oven. Here he quotes the pasuk. He quotes the pasuk from Mishlei. From Mishlei that says literally she will eat, she will wipe her mouth, and she will say that she did not do anything. So this pasuk over here uses eating ultimately as a euphemism for relations. Uleman da'amar dogim maichinom. And according to the one who says that it was fish. So what does it mean? Chinom. I mean, I will say again. This is a strange thing. If they were enslaved in Egypt, it's hard to imagine that the fillet of sole was coming for free to them. So Gemara says the havu meisin lahu mehefkera. Now in reality, they used to find fish from hefker, from ownerless places. What is this? Gemara Marbo says an amazing Gemara. Kishahoyu Yisrael shavin mayim. When the Jewish people would draw their water, Hakadosh Baruch Hu mazmin lahem esoch hamayim dogim ketanim bekadeim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu performed an amazing miracle that when they would draw water for themselves, little fish would be in the water. So they would be able to drink the water, and the fish ultimately would be available for consumption. That's the chinam. So the Gemara says, Bishlam alaman da'amar dogim. So I understand the opinion that says that they're lamenting the lack of fish. Aval arayos lo pritzibu. But again, we have a general Masorah that the Jewish people were moral in Egypt, that they did not engage in acts of immorality. If that's the case, then how do we understand that they're lamenting the lack of pritzos? Because he quotes away the pasuk. This pasuk supports the fact that they were moral in Egypt. Gan na'ol achosi kala. Literally, that my sister, the kala, is a closed garden. So we'll say closed garden, again, is a euphemism for chastity. So how do you reconcile this? That the pasuk clearly indicates over here that Lamaisa, they were not immoral in Egypt. Elaman the Amar Arayos my Mayon Chosum. But so according to the man who says that they're lamenting the fact that they miss the immorality of Egypt. So what does it mean when the Pasuk says that my sister was the closed garden, to which the Gemara says, Chasum mehanach da asirin lo pritzibuhu. So we'll say this is very interesting. You see, the Jewish people prior to Matan Torah had the status of Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach have their own system of laws. Also the Shavuot of Bnei Noach, including their own code of immorality. Excuse me, no, their own code of morality. Right? So the idea, maybe a code of morality also. Right? Own code of morality. Now, there are certain things that are prohibited by the Torah that are not prohibited by Bnei Noach. So, for example, an ant. An ant, right? So in our system, the Torah system of morality, an ant is an erva. For Bnei Noach, an ant is not an erva. That's like, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu's parents, right, through Uncle Ed, they were able to go ahead and marry each other, ultimately because they were Bnei Noach. But again, that relationship becomes usher. So what the Torah is saying over here is the following. When we say that they're lamenting the Arayos, what they are lamenting is what? The relationships that they lost now that they received the Torah. So they're not looking to be just wholesale immoral, but they're lamenting the relationships that were permitted in Egypt that are now prohibited as a result of Torah. Bishlom leman da'amar arayos, so makes this clear, who says arayos, haylu d'chsiv vayishma Moshe asam, bocha l'mishpecho sav. So then it makes sense when the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu heard the nation crying l'mishpechosav, literally for its families, and the Gemara says al iske mishpechosav, on familial matters shene'esru lahem lishkav etzlam, because again before they were permitted certain relationships within the family, now they're not. El leman domer dogim my bocha l'mishpechosav. Aye, but according to the opinion who says that the pasuk really refers the fish, really refers to the fish. So what does it mean, chinam? What does it mean, mishpechosav? To which the Gemara answers, ha v'ha havi. To which the Gemara says, you know what? The truth is, the pasuk could really be referring to both. That lemaisa again, these things could actually also just to also understand the real source for indicating that this pasuk ultimately is a reference to Arayos. Is the lashon of dagim itself. Remember, because the lashon of dag, v'yidgu, is also a lashon of procreation. So really what you have over here is that some are saying that dagim literally just means fish. Others say dagim means procreation, to which the Gemara ultimately ends off by saying, what does it mean? It means both. It means both. They were lamenting ultimately the free fish, again, remember, which was a partial complaint against the mun. They wanted real food, and they were also lamenting the new moral code that was now imposed to them as a result of the Torah. So the Gemara goes weiter. Now that we start talking about the complaints against the mun, so the Gemara begins to talk about the mun a little bit as well. The Es HaKishuim, the Es HaVatichim, supposed to say this is the same pasuk. We remember the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim for free, and then it says Es HaKishuim, Havatichim, Hachotzir, Habitzolim, Hashum. So we'll say, so Kishuim are cucumbers, Havatichim are melons, Chotzir are leeks, Bitzolim, onions, Shum, garlic. So we miss the salad bar of Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. We miss Mamish, everything we had in Egypt. So the Gemara says the following. I will say, obviously, what's strange about this pasuk is like you have the mun. And the truth is, the mun tastes like anything you want. So, all right, you want Havatichim, you want Kishum, no problem. Think it. And it's yours. What's the pshat? Rabbi Amar Rabbi Asi. Chad Amar Tam Kol Haminin Tam Obaman. Tam Chameshes Hamin Halalu Lo Tamu. So one opinion said that the man could taste like anything except these things. Except these things. Why? Look at Rashi. Halalu Lo Tamu. Shen Koshen Lo Ubros Umenikos. Because let's come to the denominator between these five things. They are not healthy for women who are pregnant or nursing. Kedamrinam b'sifri, masha omer, le'isha lo tochlini batzal mipnei atinok. So apparently, again, these things are not healthy for a woman who's pregnant or nursing. I will say, what does that mean? Does it mean because they're in the desert? Does it mean whatever it means? Therefore, the mun would not taste like these particular things because of its detrimental health effect on pregnant and nursing women. So the Gemara says, ta'abimatam chamishmin lo tamu, uvichad omer, Tam kol aminin tamu, tam on umamashan. Well, say, this is amazing. And I never heard this before, so this Gemara. The other opinion says, you know what happened with the man? The man didn't just take on the taste of a desired food. The month took on the consistency of that food as well. So when you thought you wanted the month to be A, so the month had the taste of A, as well as the consistency of A, v'halolu. But these five items, the month would take on the taste, because the taste would not be detrimental, v'lo mamoshan, but it would not take on its consistency. And that's ultimately is what Klal Yisrael complained about. V'haman kizera god lavan. The man was like literally zera god lavan is like white coriander. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says kegida garin shel aliandri. It's coriander. So the man was like a white coriander seed. Amar Rabbi Yasi agul kegida v'lavan kamar galit. It was round like the coriander seed, and it was white like a pearl, or like a jewel. God, what does it mean it was God? Shedoma lezera pishta megivolin. It resembled flax, literally in its shell, in its stalk. Achirim, others say God. This is how beautiful this is. Shedoma lehagada shemoshechas libo shel adam. Why does he call it God? Because it was like agarita. How seems like agarita? Just like everybody loves to learn agarita. Why else would you have trekked through the snow this morning? Just like agarita draws on the heart of man, so too the man spoke to the heart of man as well. So the Gemara says, just like agarita draws the heart of man to flow like water, so too did the man. Tanya idach, God, shemagid lahem li Yisrael, iben tisha l'rishon, V'iben Shiva la'acharon. So we'll say this is very interesting. What does it mean that it was God? That it was God comes from Lashon of Lahagid, Shemagid. It would indicate, it would tell whether or not a woman had given birth to a 7-month baby from her first husband or a 9-month baby from her second husband. We'll say, what does that mean? So what does that mean? That Lamaisa, again, Lamaisa, remember, if a woman gets remarried, let's say 2 months after her husband dies, or she gets divorced, and then what happens? She gives birth 7 months later, 7 months after she gets married to her second husband. Because the Shaila, right, whose baby is that? That's why, interestingly enough, Halacha Lamaisa, we paskin that a woman must wait 3 months between, and it doesn't matter how old she is. So whether her husband died, or whether she got divorced, a minimum of 3 months before she remarries. In the event that she's pregnant from the first marriage, we make a low plug, so it doesn't matter how old she is. That she's married from the first marriage, we should know that the child is from the first marriage. So let's say you get a situation where a woman got married after 2 months. So Lemaisa, again, the mun would tell you the paternity of the child. Why? Because the portion for the baby would fall at the rightful father's home. Again, or if the first husband was deceased, at his family's home. So the mun would tell you it was the first desert paternity test. Okay, so the Gemara says, so Shemagid. So Iben Tishla Rishon, the Iben Shivala Acharon. Lavan, what does it mean, Lavan, white? Shemal bin Avonosein Shay Yisrael. Literally, it would whiten the sins of the Jewish people. Rashi says, look at the top Rashi. It's Rashi on the left-hand column. Shemal bin Avonosein, mitoch shahayu doagin, shema lo yered man lemachar, hayu mishabdin libel makar. So this is amazing. The people were in a constant state. If you remember with the man, you had no food in the cupboard. You had no extra. There were no reserves. So the man kept people honest. Why? Because ultimately they were in a constant state of worry if their bread was going to fall tomorrow. The Gemara understands that as a result, they had to be in a constant state of spiritual preparedness. Let's say, imagine for a moment that if you knew that you were only going to get your paycheck if you're in a constant state of spiritual preparedness. Imagine, I mean, it's a lot to live with. That's why they constantly rebel against the month. But it is a very profound way of life that my heavenly bread, my daily bread, will only come down if I'm in a spiritual state of preparedness. That was the month. Shanavi Hayam Magilam Yisrael. I mean, we'll say you should joke. I mean, that happens to be true anyway. Right? I do only get my paycheck if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. But again, for us, it's much more cloaked and it's not as obvious. Tanya Rabbi Yossi says, Kashem Shahanavi Hayam Magilam Yisrael. Masha Bechorin Masha Shebistokin. Kach Haman Magilam Yisrael Masha Bechorin Masha Bistokin. We'll say it's an amazing Gemara. Rabbi Yossi says, the same way that a Novi would tell the Jewish people, literally, what's in the holes and what's in the cracks. Now, I will say, what does that mean? The Navi knows what you're doing. The Navi knows what's happening in your private life. The Navi knows what you're doing behind closed doors. The Mun is also a spiritual barometer. And the Mun was indicative of what you were doing in your private life as well. So the Gemara says, Kate, so what does this mean? Shnaim Shebo'u Lifnei Moshe. If there are two people that came before Moshe Rabbeinu Ladin to adjudicate the case. Ze Omer Avdi Ganafta, Ze Omer Atem Achartali. So one Reuven says to Shimon, Shimon, you stole my slave. And Shimon says, what is it about? You stole it, you sold it to me. Amar Lehem Moshe. Moshe would say to them, La Boker Mishpat. Tomorrow morning we'll know who's right. Now what does that mean? Lamachar im nimtza omra bebeis rabo rishon biadua shezeg navo. Osai, so how did the mon decide? Everything depends on where. Where does the servant's portion of mon fall? If the servant's portion of mon fell by Reuven's house, then that's indicative that what, that Shimon stole the slave. Im nimtza omra bebeis rabo sheni, and if the mon fell by Shimon's house, Yadua shezat machrolo. Then it's clear that Reuven sold him the servant. V'chein ish v'isha shabal lifnei Moshe ledin. And so too, if a man and wife came before Moshe Rabbeinu to adjudicate the case, ze omer he sarcha alai. Literally, I will say he sarcha alai means sarcha means spoiled. Now it doesn't mean she spoils me. That's not what he's saying. Sarcha alai means that there was some type of inappropriateness in the marriage. Now, whether it means he feels that she committed adultery or something else, but the point is he wants out of the marriage, and he feels that, Rashi says, he feels that she forfeited her ksuva as well as a result of her behavior. He omeres, who's sarach alai, and she says, what are you talking about? It's not me who's at fault. He mistreated me. Amar lehem Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Laboker mishpat. Tomorrow morning we'll see who's right. Im nimtza omra beveis baila, biatua shehi sarcha alav. This is interesting. If her omer, if her mon fell at her husband's house, then that was indicative that she is the one responsible. Nimtza omra bebeis aviha. However, if the wife's portion of mon fell at her father's house, that's a vindication for her. Biyadua shehu sorach aleha. That's indicative that the husband is at fault. Ksiv. So we'll say again. So therefore, this is the mon. This is, again, remember, this is all being darshened. This is all being darshened by Lavan. Shemalbin avonosehen shal Yisrael. That the man had almost like a cleansing effect, and that it was able to settle the disputes of the Jewish people. Ksiv, Pasuk says, Uberedes hatal ala machane laila. So the Torah says that when the tal, Uberedes hatal ala machane laila, yarat haman alav. So when the dew would fall, the mon would fall on top of it. Now, also, what the Gemara is focusing on over here is that where did the mon fall? It fell in the machane. It fell in the camp. Uksiv, another pasuk says, Vayitze ha'am belaktu. The other pasuk says the nation would go out, which again could mean in the camp, could mean outside of the camp. Uksiv, and then it says, Shatu ha'am belaktu. The people spread out and collected their mon. So, we'll say, what the Gemara is pointing out of here is we see that three contradictory psukim as to where the mon is falling. First pasuk says the mon is falling in the machane. Second one seems to say it's indicating maybe a little bit outside of the machane. And third pasuk is it's all over the place. So what's the pshat? We'll say this is amazing. Listen to this. Haketzad tzadikim for the righteous yorad al pesach batehem. The mon would fall to their doorstep. Right, home delivery. Mm-hmm. Home delivery of the mon. Beinonim, the regular people like the in betweeners. Yatsu v'laktu. They would have to go out a little bit, right? So their mon would fall in the camp. But it wouldn't be at their doorstep. Rishoim shatu v'laktu. Rishoim, they managed, had to trek. They had to trek. They had to even go outside of the camp to collect their mon. We'll say let's read a little bit more. Ksiv lechem uksiv ugos uksiv tachanu. Similarly, the pasuk says that the mon was bread lechem, which seems to indicate ready to eat. Ksiv ugos. Ugos also means unprocessed cakes. Uksiv tachanu. And then the other pasuk says that they had to grind up the mon, which seems to indicate what? Totally raw state. What's the pshat? Haketzad tzadikim lechem. For the tzadikim, the man fell in finished form. Lechem. Beinonim ugos. For the beinonim, it wasn't finished, but it was like, you know, like a parbek, you know, like ready to eat, ready to cook. Didn't have to do anything else. However, rishayim tachnu brechayim. For the wicked, they had to mamish grind it up in the mill and actually process it. So we'll say, just so you see over here, you know, you ever wonder to yourself, why is it that Jewish people constantly complained against the mon? And of all the things they complained about, it's so strange to complain against mon, but now you understand, it's very difficult to live life with constant spiritual feedback, right? Most of us have a difficult time dealing with, we like feedback every once in a while, mm-hmm. right? But if you have somebody who gives you constant, constant guidance, right? Constant, you know, constructive criticism. it's difficult. You know, once in a while it's good, it's helpful, but every day it's difficult. We'll say that was the month. You know, it's living life under the microscope. Every single day, if you mess up, it's clear how the Baruch Hu feels about you. And it's not only clear to you, by the way, but it's also what? It's clear to everybody else. So like when your neighbor walks out in his bathrobe and he's just picking up his mun right at his doorstep and you're looking around and your mun is nowhere to be found and your neighbor tries to pretend like he didn't see you. Right? It's a very awkward situation. It's difficult to live life under the microscope. That's why they constantly rebel against the mun. Weiter. So the Gemara says,
mun belong to whom?
I'm sorry?
How do they know whose mun belong to whom if there was some out
of the... Is that your biggest cash on this whole thing? Out of all the... You want your mun? Yeah, I don't... I guess when they went out, they saw... I don't know. Identification. It's a good shiloh.
Do they have the names on them?
Like maybe. Maybe the portions with it, I don't know.
I'm going to take that as constructive criticism.
You can do better. So the Gemara goes by there. So the Gemara says the following. So, Odacha b'meducha, we'll say there's another, it's just amazing Gemara after amazing Gemara. So listen to this. Odacha b'meducha, or Odacha b'meducha, we'll say literally means that you can grind it up in the mortar. That's literally what it means. Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rabbi Tima, Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Nelamit shiyared lahem liyisrat limaman, tachshitei noshim. Well, so listen to this. Along with the mun, what else fell? Cosmetics. Cosmetics for the women fell with the mun. Now, where do we get that from? So the Gemara says, Dovar shenidok b'meducha. Because we'll say again, how were cosmetics made? Probably not so different from today. But again, they used to take different herbs, and they would grind it up with a mortar and a pestle. It would create like a paste that was ultimately used for cosmetics. So together with the mun, ultimately, just an incredible yisod as well. You know, the mun represents sustenance. So you understand why cosmetics? The cosmetics was supposed to be representative of shalom bayis. The idea ultimately was to maintain an intimate, passionate relationship between husband and wife. Almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you know, man does not live by bread alone. You want to have a sustained household. There has to be mezonos, and there has to be shalom and love and passion in the marriage also. Those are the two components for making a successful life. So the cosmetics fall as well. Obishlu b'parot, they would cook the mun in the pot. Amar Rabbi Chama, melamed shor lahem liyisrael imamun, sike kedera. Not only that, but what else fell with the mun? Spices, because again, I'm also, I remember people might want to prepare their mun in different ways. So spices came down with the mun as well. Vehem eviyu elav, od nidava bavokir bavokir. Supposed to say the pasuk says earlier by the Mishkan that they would bring Moshe Rabbeinu. This is when everybody's contributing. They would bring Moshe Rabbeinu owed more and more nedavas gifts every single morning. My babokir babokir. I'm Rabbi Shlomo Nachmani. I'm Rabbi Yonasan. Midvar nedavar shiyar lahem babokir babokir. They brought Moshe from the thing that fell each and every morning. Now, what does that mean? That they brought Moshe Rabbeinu from the mun. No, Melami Shadon Yisrael Avonim Tovos Umargolios Himaman. Let's say so beautiful. We learn out from here that they brought Moshe together with the man. Beautiful and precious jewels also fell every morning. And therefore they brought Moshe Rabbeinu from the jewels that fell with the man. Vahanesim Heviyos Avne Ashoham. We'll say literally translated the Nesim. Now we normally translate Nesim to mean the princes. The princes brought the Avnei Hashom. The Avnei Hashom, we'll say, are the what we call the filling stones. The stones that ultimately go on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol. Tana Nesim Mamish. The Gemara suggests over here that Nesim means Nesim. It means clouds. That the clouds brought the jewels. Hainu Omer Nesim Veruach VeGeshemayim. VaHayot Tamo Kitam LaShad Hashemin. So the taste of the mun was like something that was kneaded with oil. Amar Rabbi Avo, Ma Shad Ze Tinok Toim Ba Kama Tamim, Af Hakol Haman, Kol Af Amon, Kols Man She Yisrael Ochlino Somotzin Ba Kama Tamim. But say, just like when a child nurses in its mother's milk, it tastes whatever it wants. Well, so what that means is just like the mother's milk provides the child with everything the child needs, so too the mun was able to be whatever we wanted as well. Ikadami, others say, the shade mamish. Others say, no, it comes to compare the mun to a shade, to a demon. Ma shade ze mishapech kamagavnin, just like the shade can change appearances and can turn into whatever it wants. So to again, af haman mishapech lekamatam. So to the mun could also change the different things. Ve'yomer Moshe b'seis Hashem lachem be'erev baser le'achov alechem b'boker lispar. So we'll say again, this is one of the episodes. This is the episode of the slav, where Moshe Rabbeinu is very angry at Klal Yisrael. The Shmaruch is very angry at Klal Yisrael because they complain against the man, about the man. They want meat. Instead, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, fine, you want meat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you meat in the evening to eat and bread in the morning to satiate yourself. Tan Mishneh Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Baser Shesholu Shelo Kehogen. Nitan Lahem Shelo Kehogen. Meat which they asked for inappropriately was given to them in an inappropriate way. Lechem Shesholu Kehogen. Nitein Lahem Kehogen. Bread that was asked for, bread which was an appropriate request, was given to them in an appropriate way. But if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says over here, Nitalem Kohogen, Baboker Shi Shos Lachino. So we'll say, well, here's what's interesting. The Gemara suggests over here that the request for meat was inappropriate. Why? Because Rashi explains, first of all, they weren't going hungry. That's number one. Number two, if they wanted meat all that badly, then what? Then go ahead and shecht your own animals. They had animals with them. They had livestock with them. So you want meat? Absolutely no problem. But you have to then take matters into your own hand. Don't complain against God. So what happened? So the bread, which was an appropriate request, the man fell every morning at an appropriate time. However, the meat, which was an inappropriate request, fell at night. Now, what does it mean at night? We'll see. It fell too late in the evening to be able to prepare it for that evening.
Didn't they eat all of their animals at the beginning of the trek into the desert?
No, they were eating really their matzah until the man began to fall. The act doesn't say they slaughtered. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu says that the request was inappropriate indicates they still had livestock. It's a very good question. So the Gemara says the following. So look at Rashi. Look at the Gemara. Linda Torah Derech Eretz. The Torah teaches us a very important lesson, which is Shelo Yochal Adam Baser Ela Balayla. That a person should only eat meat at night. Vahamra Abaye, Hay Man. So what that means is that a person should eat meat at night, which means that, first of all, the Gemara is saying is a person should not eat a large meal during the day, because ultimately what that does is that makes one lethargic and compromises one's daily productivity. So one should eat meat at night. What about the fact that Vahamra Abaye, Hay Man De Islay Suda Lo La Achle Ela Biyamama? But what about the fact that Abaye said that when you eat, you should only eat by the elbow? So this goes back, we had this Gemara a couple of days ago, that someone who is part of the eating experience is seeing what you eat. And there's a certain amount of satiety that you lose when you don't see what it is that you answer. The Gemara says that a blind person is never fully sated. So what about the fact that it's supposed to eat when it's day? So the Gemara says, Ke'enya mama kamino. No, what it means is you have to eat when it's like day. Meaning, what does that mean? You should eat with illumination. So you don't have to eat dafka by day, but when you're eating at night, you should make sure the room is illuminated. Amar Abacha bar Yaakov, Betchilo, Hayu Yisrael domi ketarne golem shemenakrim ba'ashpa. In the beginning, the Jewish people were like chickens who were pecking around a garbage heap. All right. Ad sheba Moshe, the kavalahen zmansud. So we'll say, what this means is, like, what does it mean pecking around the garbage heap? Like the chicken doesn't have appointed times to eat. The chicken is always mamish, like scavenging. So in the beginning, what's interesting is the following. You know, when you take for granted certain things that we know to be normal. So when you're an Eved, when you're a slave, you have very few trappings of normal life. One of the things you don't have necessarily is the ability to have regular meals. So what do you do as a slave? You grab here, you grab there. Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach them how to be free people. And part of being free people is you don't peck around the garbage all day. You don't just eat whatever. You have meal times. You have meal times. You eat here, you eat here, you eat there. He tries to make them into Bnei Adam. So Mar goes weiter. Habas Rodeno Ben Shinei. So also remember by the slav, so Klal Yisrael asked it appropriately. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the meat, those who partook of it ultimately died. And the Pasuk says the meat was still between their teeth when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a magefa, a plague, to wipe them out. Uksiv, but yet another Pasuk says, Ad Chodesh Yamim, that they had enough slav for up to a month. So which one is it? Did they die immediately? Did they die within a month? So Mar says, HaKetzad, Beinonim La'alter. The regular people, the average people, died immediately. So we said the Gemara doesn't know about tzaddikim because the tzaddikim did not partake of the slav. So the beinonim, right? The beinonim, kind of like the average in-betweeners, they died immediately. And the Rishoim literally suffered in agony for an entire month. So we'll say again, the Pasuk says, Vayishtechu, that ultimately they spread out to collect the man. So the Gemara says, don't read it as spread out. Vayishtechu, ela vayishchatu. Slaughter. This teaches us that the enemies of the Jewish people, which mostly we know is a metaphor for sinners. The sinners of among the Jewish people were ultimately subject to death. So the Gemara goes on. Shatuach. I'm sorry. Shizchaivu sonen shayisol shchita. Shatuach. Tana mishmeid Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Al tikri shatuach ela shachut. Don't read it as shatuach, but rather read it as shachut. Okay. So the Gemara says, just so you understand over here, the pasuk says the shatuach is coming from the fact that the pasuk says when the slav fell, it fell shatuach alamach, and it fell spread out. Now, obviously, the pasuk shan in that pasuk is coming to teach us that the slav was everywhere. Slav was everywhere. The Gemara in the Gemara it says, don't read it shatuach, rather shachot. Now, what does that mean? Melamed sheyarad lahem liyisrael im haman. Dover Shetaun Shchita. This comes to teach us, Rav Moshe, it's interesting that along with the man fell something that required Shchita. Now, what is this something that required Shchita? Is the Slav. So the Gemara seems to understand over here that this is the source that we learn that Lemaisa, a bird, is subject to the laws of Shchita. The fact that it says Shatoach, which we are interpreting as Shachut, which indicates that the item that fell with the man, i.e. the slav, not literally together with the man, but that fell together with them for the man in the desert, requires shchita. So Gemara says, one second. V'chimikan. Amrebi. V'chimikan. First wide line. V'chimikan atalaman. Are you telling me that this is the source that a bird requires shchita? V'halo kvar ne'mar. But the pasuk already says in Tehillim, Vayam ter aleihem ke'afar. She'er ukichol yomim of kanaf. But yeah, the pasuk it literally means we'll say that he would rain down upon them like dust, meat, and like the sand on the sea would be the winged bird. So this pasuk speaking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu sustains us with plenty. V'tanya, and based on this pasuk, Rabbi said, Rabbi Omer, v'zavachta ka'asher tzivisicha. When the pasuk is now, like, now remember, what does that pasuk do for us? Let's just keep in mind the train of thought here. What does that pasuk do for us? That pasuk links birds with meat, right? Because in the beginning, Vayam teralem ka'afar she'er. She'er in this case also means meat. He will rain down upon us like dust, meat, which means there'll be plenty of meat. Ukechol hayom of kanaf. And like the sand on the sea will be the winged bird. So the winged bird is compared to meat. What does that do for us? So Rebbe says, the pasuk is, Vazavachta kasher tzivisicha. God gives Moshe Rabbeinu the laws of Shechita. And what happens? You shall slaughter it as I commanded you. Melamed shenitztave Moshe ala veshet v'al hakona v'al rov echad v'of al rov shlaim v'behema. Moshe Rabbeinu, this teaches us what? That Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded regarding the Kanan v'veshet. Kanan v'veshet means the windpipe in the esophagus. And he was also told that what? That when it comes to a bird, you have to shecht the majority of one of the simanim, either the windpipe or the esophagus, but by a behema, by an animal, you have to shecht the majority of both simanim. So we'll see, the point the Gemara is making is what? We learn out the fact that a bird is subject to the laws of shechita from this combination of this pasuk in Tehillim and this pasuk in the Torah. So why are you telling me that you have to reinterpret the word shatuach as shachot to teach me, as shachot to teach me that the bird is subject to the laws of shechita? To which the Gemara says, Elama tamulomar shatoach. Rather, what does it mean when the Torah says that the man fell shatoach? So the Gemara says, Melamed sheyared lohem mashtichin mashtichin. Rather, what does it mean? It means that when the slav fell in layers. Mashtichin mashtichin. Pile layers and layers and layers of slav. Ksiv lechem, uksiv shemen, uksiv dvash. So we'll say back to the man for just a moment. Now by the man, it says lechem, it says bread, it says shemen, it says oil, and it says dvash, it says honey. Now we'll say these are all the different things that the man is supposed to taste. So the man says, which one is it? Now we'll say, obviously, the man, we just said before, the man tasted like whatever you wanted, but it must be that if you did not have something in mind, there was some kind of default taste. It's kind of default taste of the man. So what is it? Was it bread? Was it oil? Was it honey? To which the Gemara says so beautifully, Rabbi Yosef v'chanina, l'na'arim lechem, for the young ones, it would taste like bread. Lizakanim shemen, for the older ones it would be like oil. The tinokes, for the tiongos, for the young children, divash. So again, depending on where you are holding in life, the default taste of man varied. Ksiv, slav. Vikarinan, slav. So also, here's what's interesting. Is, remember, the word is written in the Torah is with a sin. Now, understand, of course, because the Torah is not vocalized, no nekudos. So when you look at that word, you can also read that how? As shalev. As shalev. Now, shalev means what? Shalev means like shava, tranquility. Tranquility. So the Gemara says, interesting, it's written shlav or shalav or shalev, tranquility, but we read it slav. Am Rabbi Chanina, tzadikim ochlin osa b'shalva. Rabbi Chanina says, what does it come to teach us? That the righteous go ahead, the righteous eat it. The righteous eat it on in shalva, in a state ultimately of tranquility. Rishaim ochlin osa, when the wicked would eat it, and ultimately for them, it felt like thorns. Rashi says, kisluyim. So Rashi says, kotzim belashon arami. This is the word for thorns in Aramaic. Okay. Am Rabbi Chanan Barava. Dalid mine slav hein. There were four different types of slav. What were the four different types of slav? Elu hein, sichli, kibli, pisione, slav. All right. Ma'al yodekulu, the best type of slav, is sichli. The worst type, Gria, the most inferior slav, the Kulu, slav. Interestingly enough, some of the most inferior of the slav family is that which is normally called slav. And Bahavi, so the Gemara says, the Kulu, slav, Bahavi, kitsipurta. Now, interestingly enough, the slav itself is kitsipurta. Tsipurta means that it's like a bird, meaning it's small. It's small, it's like a bird. And listen to this. If you put it in the oven, meaning if now you slaughter the slav and now you're making it, you're cooking it. So if you put it in the oven, listen to this, tafach, it expands. Vahavi mali tanura, and it could fill up the entire space of the oven. So we'll say again, remember, so even though it's a small bird, it expands when you cook it. Apparently, what the slav, the quality of the slav has is very, very fatty. So I guess when you put it in the oven, it expands. And what happens? Umaskinon le atlesa rifi. Also, listen to this. If you were to stack 13 loaves of bread, one on top of the other, and take your roasted slav and put it on the top loaf, what would happen? Achrona eina ne'echeles ala ayde taros. There is so much schmaltz in the slav that the schmaltz would seep down all the way to the 13th loaf. Now, I will say, People used to do this. They used to put schmaltz on their bread. Right? I would say used to. People still put schmaltz on it. You can't admit it now because like it's very right. But again, this used to be. I'm sorry, that was the peanut butter, right? So what would happen is people would put schmaltz on the bread. So this thing, if you have 13 loaves, if you put the slav on the top of the 13th loaf, the schmaltz will seep through all the way to the 13th to the point that the 13th loaf, the bottom loaf cannot be eaten on its own, but it has to be eaten literally in a mixture with something else. So very, very, so it's also just very interesting over here that you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have given them any kind of meat. It's interesting that he gives them like the fattiest type of meat, almost as if to show, you know, what you're asking for is so gluttonous. You know, here I'm taking care of you. I'm giving you everything you want. All right, it's not perfect. I understand that there is a certain element of having the actual food item in front of you and not just thinking what you want it to be and letting it become that thing. But still, look at what you have right in front of you, which is so gluttonous. So he gives them the fattiest meat.
Did everyone wait to see that guy?
No. So remember, slav falls twice. Slav falls twice in the desert. Only one time when they ate it did they die. Right? That was the second time. The first time that there was a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we gave it to them. That's when it talks about the tzaddikim who ate it before. That was the first time around. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, fine. Rabbi Huda, this is amazing. So now the Gemara talks about different people who received the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what was the bracha? That they used to find slav around their house. Now, you think to yourself, I would call the exterminator around my house. So what happened? They'd find slav, and they understood this to be a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu was delivering these animals to them. So Rabbi Huda, Mishtachach Lei Bei Doni. Rabbi Huda used to find slav between the barrels, between his wine barrels. Rav Chista, Mishtachach Lei Bei Tzivi. Rav Chista used to find slav in his store, in his wood storage house. Rava Maisili Arisa Koyome. Rava sharecropper used to bring him slub every day from his fields. Yomachad lo Aisi. One day the sharecropper didn't bring the slub. Amr my height. So Rava said to the sharecropper, knew what's going on. Solik li igra. He went up to his roof to see what was going on. Shamet li yinuka de ka'amar shamati vatirgas bitni. He heard a child saying the pasuk literally from Habakkuk. Shamati, I heard, and my insides trembled. I will say, there's a general klal gadol that when young children recite psukim, that there's a certain element of prophecy contained within those utterances. So Rabbi hears a young child saying, I heard, and my insides trembled. Amar Rava said, Shema mina, nach nafshed Rav Chista. It must be that Rav Chista died. Ubedil Rabbah, achol talmida. And it was in the merit of the Rebbe that the student ate. I will say what this means is applying Rav Chista, Rashi points out over here, was Rava's father-in-law and his Rebbe. The fact now what happened, the slav would fall every single day. Rava didn't know why it was happening, but fine. The day that the slav did not fall, the little child says essentially something terrible has happened. Rava said, oh, I bet it's that Rav Chista, my father-in-law, my Rebbe died. And then he realized that the slav that he got every day wasn't in his merit. The slav that he received every day was in the merit of his Rebbe, Rav Chista. The Gemara goes weiter. Ksiv, vatal, shichva satal, uksiv, ubereda satal. So we'll say another contradiction of Pesukim. On one hand, the Pasuk seems to indicate that the dew was on top of the mun, because it said that the dew would go ahead and be removed from on top of the mun. And then it says, ubereda satal, but yet then the other Pasuk says what? That the mun fell on top of the dew. So which one is it? Was the dew on top of the mun or the dew on the bottom of the mun? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, tell me the malo, but tell me the mato. The dome kimosha murach bekufsa. Oh, the answer is both. There was tal on top of the man, tal on the bottom of the man, and the man was like encased in a box. Dak mechuspas. Now the Rebbe will say dak means it was thin. What is mechuspas? Amar Rishlakish davash nimuach apisa sayad. The man was something mechuspas means something that would dissolve on the palm of the hand. And if you held man on the palm of your hand, it would dissolve. Rabbi Yochanan says, Davar shenivla b'masayim v'arba shmonu evarim. No, mechuspas means something that ultimately would be absorbed within the 248 organs of man. Meaning, I will say, no part of the man went to waste. Everything was used to sustain the body. So the Gemara, no, I will say, when the Gemara says that that's what mechuspas means, the Gemara assumes that the numerical value of mechuspas is 248. But in fact, it's not true. The numerical value of mechuspas is actually 274, to which the mechuspas to Bahabi. So the numerical value is not 248. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, no, mechuspas ksiv, because take out the vav, right? And if you take out the vav, if you take, right, not 274, excuse me, it was 254. So the Gemara says, take out the vav, and you're back to your 248. Tan Rabbanan, lechem avirim. What does it mean when it says that? Now, Abosa, what does it mean? Lechem avirim. Now, avirim literally means the bread of nobility. The bread of nobility. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, literally, lechem avirim achal ish. Lechem shemalachi asharis ochlenos. The Rebbe Kiva says that the man was the bread that the angels consumed. And when they said this before Rabbi Shmuel, they said of Rabbi Kiva's pain in front of Rabbi Shmuel, Amr lahem tsu'u v'amrulu la'akiva. Akiva Ta'isa. Rabbi Shmuel heard this. He said, go back to Rabbi Akiva and tell him, Akiva, what are you talking about? Do angels eat bread? The Pasuk says, Lechem lo achalti umayim lo shasisi. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes up to get the Torah, and he has almost like an angelic experience, what does he say? I didn't eat, I didn't drink. There is no eating, there is no drinking by the Malachim. Ela ma'ani mekayim avirim. So what does avirim mean? Lechem shenivla b'masayim v'arba v'arba'im u'shmona evarim. Avirim, Rabbi Osai, is a play on words for evarim. That the man is the bread that is absorbed in the 248 organs of the body. That the man is totally absorbed into the body of man. Ela ma'ani makayim. So we'll say now, what that the way the Gemara understands totally absorbed into the body of man is there was no waste. There was no waste. So meaning normally Rabbi Osai, a person eats. Person has to relieve themselves in order to go ahead and get what the body doesn't need. There is no part of the mun that was not processed by the body. So there was no waste. So the Gemara says, but what about the fact, Alamani Mekayim, the Yosei Tielachala Zenecha? Well, so the Torah speaks about the fact that when you go out to war, the halacha is that you have to carry a shovel along with your weapons. The idea, the Torah says, is there has to be a certain amount of etiquette in the military camp as well. That you can't just relieve yourself wherever you want, but rather carry with yourself a shovel. And if you have to relieve yourself, go outside of the camp and take care of your needs there. And then after, when you're finished, so you have your shovel to cover up the waste. So if that's the case, then ultimately, again, that nobody's relieving themselves. Nobody has to move their bowels. So why, again, do you need the shovel? So the Gemara says, Dvarim shahateiwai, Dvarim shetigre umasa ola mochren osam lahem rabosa. Because remember, the Jewish people had opportunities where they bought food from other nations. So the food from other nations that would not remain in their system. So they ultimately would need the shovel for that. Rabbi Elazar ben Parta Omer, af dvarim shetigre umasa ola mochren lahem. Let's listen to this. Even food that was sold to them by the other nations, man mafigan. They'll say, what would happen? So they'd go ahead and they'd get this food from the other nations, which had all of its impurities. And what would happen? Afterwards, they would consume man, and the man ultimately, again, would clean up all of the impurities of the other food. So there would be no waste from that either. But what about, so then why does it require the soldier to carry a shovel with him? We'll say that refers to after we sinned. After we sinned, Rashi says, "Shenislonenu alkach shor v'lechem alkal gerbo." Say after we complained about the man, after we started the prophet, "No, okay, you want to complain about the man? You know what? Fine. So then I'm going to treat you just like regular people." That's when they had to begin moving their bowels, removing the impurities from their body, and that's the Torah says you have to carry the shovel with you. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, "Ani amarti yihyu kamalocha yasharis." I wanted to give you the opportunity to be like angels, that you would eat and you wouldn't even have to relieve yourselves. Now I'm going to require you to travel three parsos, which would be about 2,400 amas. And I will say again, now, what does that mean? Now, I want you to be malachi asharis, you should have to relieve yourselves. Now you're going to have to travel three parsos. Three parsos is going to be the size of the camp. So since, again, you're not supposed to relieve yourself in the camp, you're supposed to go outside of the camp. I'm going to be matriach, and you have to walk three parsos. Tchsiv, vayachanu ala yardein, mibeis hayishimos, ad eva lashitim. This place, eva lashitim, how large was it? I saw this place. Vahagya tlasa parsi. It was three parsos long. So we'll say, you see from here that the size of the camp ultimately is three parsos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I wanted you to be more like Malochim, that you shouldn't have to go out of the camp to relieve yourselves. You obviously didn't appreciate this, not that you complained about it. Now you have to travel outside of the camp. Weiter. Tana. Kishnifnin, just to finish this, and the Gemara says, Kishnifnin, when they relieve themselves, Ein nifnin lo lifnehen, below the tzidei. And I will say, when they would relieve themselves, you don't want people relieving themselves in front of the camp, because obviously, and I will say, what does that mean? That means then, b'maisa, as they're marching forward, they're going to be literally marching, forward. Good. No, it's studded, not on the sides, because then the people are surrounded by it. So then rather, because remember, I will say, this is a lot of bathroom facilities over here, right? There's 3.5 million people. Mm-hmm. So you don't want it in front, you don't want it on the sides, but rather what? Lo el acharei, in the back. So we'll say, it was a real schlep. So if you were, can you imagine waking up 2 o'clock in the morning, right? So you're the guy in the front of the camp. You're the guy in the front of the camp. You have to go all the way back to the outside of the camp. The ata nafshenu yevesha. So it's an ain call. So we'll say, remember, this is when they're complaining about the month. So what do they say? Literally, our soul is dried out. Ain call. There's nothing left. Amru asid man ze shetipakach meme. So we'll say, the Gemara now says, one of the complaints they had against the man is they were scared. One day, our insides are going to explode. Why? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, klum yesh yilod isha shemachnis ve'ino motzi. Is there such a thing as a human being that ingests and does not excrete? Mm-hmm. So they're saying is they were concerned, like, what's happening with us when they were just going to explode? Shnemu drum lif name Rabbi Yishmael. And when they said these words in front of Rabbi Yishmael, Amar lahem, al tikri evarim, avirim, ela evarim. So also going back to what we said before, when they said to Rabbi Yishmael said, this is why, don't read it as lechem avirim, rather lechem evarim. Davar shenivla b'masayim v'arbo shmona evarim. The beauty of the man is that it was fully absorbed into the body. Ela ma'ani mekayim, v'yase tielecha lezenecha. Aye, but what about the fact that it says that you should have a shovel with you? This refers to things that ultimately came to them from overseas. Literally, what it means is the food that was not man, the food that they bought from others, ultimately would be things that Lamaisa, they would have to go ahead and excrete. Davar acher, another thing. One more piece of wall. Lechem avirim achal ish. What does it mean? What does it mean that, you know, actually, you know, we'll stop over here. By the davar acher. We'll stop. We'll pick up this tomorrow. It's Asher. Asher koyach. Yes, sir. Yes, no.